We are up to Tav Resh, Lamed Tes, Seif Beis. We ended yesterday with a discussion about the clay achila. Rava told us that the clay achila should be chutz la sukkah. There was a machlokes. Rashi tells us, what are clay achila? Rashi says clay achila are the dirty bowls and plates. And Tosis holds that the clay achila are the pots and pans in which the food was served. Then that was on Sukkah Daf Chav Tes. And then if we fast forward to the end of the Masechta, the Gemara discusses one who doesn't have where to sit in Eretz Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres or in Chutz La'aretz on Simchas Torah, and he needs to sit in his sukkah. What should he do to avoid a problem of Baal Tosif? So the Gemara gave a few etzas, and then the Rif writes that he should bring inside the sukkah his money michla, his clay achila, umifsala. The Rif adds in the word umifsala, and then he quotes Rava that the clay achila should be outside of the sukkah. What does it mean, umifsala? So the Ran over there on the Rif and the Ramban in the Milchamos and the Balamor all say that the Rif did not mean it. Lav davka. It doesn't passel the sukkah if you have pots and pans or dirty plates in the sukkah. But since it's something that's not normally in the sukkah, it's a way of making a heker and showing that I'm sitting in the sukkah now for convenience and not l'shem mitzvah, which would be a problem of Baal Tosif. The Ravid over there on the Rif and the Rabbeinu Manoach take the Rif literally, and they say that there's some sort of psul midrabanan by having the clay achila in the suda, and the Sharatzion is choishish for that opinion. We ended off with the Shara Tzion Ois Yud Gimel yesterday, where the Shara Tzion says, Ayin b'chai Adam, Shehevi b'shem Rabbeinu Manoach, Zimikomokom b'shah shehem b'socho, when the clay achil are in the sukkah, Ein levarech oz leishe b'sukkah. One should not make a bracha leishe b'sukkah. The psula hi midrabanan, because that will passel the sukkah midrabanan. Now it sounds like I didn't see the Chayyadim inside, but it sounds like Rabbeinu Manoach is saying it on his own. But they're the Bechei Muchach Lashon HaRif. What? No. So then the Shara Tzion goes on to say, the Hama'ayim Baran of the Mechamos, it will say, Eimi Lashon HaRif Shum Raya. Daitusham De'ein Nifselas Klal. And therefore we have Gimel Rish, three Rishonim against Rabbeinu Manoach. We have the Baal Amor, we have the Ramban, and we have the Ran. The A Nifseles Klal. Then continues the Shara Tziyun. Omnam, however, Achar Kach, afterwards, Matzasi Basogas arriving, right over there at the bottom of the Rif, Shegam Daito Barif Kipashto. And therefore, it's two against three. Rabbeinu Manoach and the Ravid against the Baal Amor, the Ramban, and the Ran. And then the conclusion of the Shara Tzion is Min HaNachon, hold on, Min HaNachon L'Chatzchila L'Hachmir Bazem, which sounds like the conclusion of the Shara Tzion is, sounds like he's saying not to make a bracha if now either there's dirty plates in the sukkah or there's pots in the sukkah or there's a Tashmish Bazui in the sukkah. So I did a little bit of homework into this, because we don't, without actually contacting anybody. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the minhag ha'olam is shelo lahachnis klei cheres l'sukkah kamo kederos. It is a genai. But b'ka'aros, when you're dealing with the bowls and the plates, la'achar achila ein ha'olam nizharim, the olam is not nizhar in the dirty plates and bowls, the oilim is nizar on the pots and pans. V'nira she'olam tovsim perish ha'toises u'bahag le'ikir. Rashi is the one who said it refers to the dirty plates that is meostick perhaps, and the minig sounds like it's like toises not to bring in the pots and pans. and then continues the Aruch HaShulchan. Va'achshav ha'minig dekederos ein machnis in the sukkah af kodem achila. Uka'aros ein motziin af la'achar achila. Which again fits in with Shitas HaToisus. Umekamokom, he says, yesh nizoyah shemiyad la'achar achila yotziu ha'ka'aros min ha'sukkah. Now, I was thinking, I don't know, people don't seem to be so makbid on this bizmanenu. Now, I was thinking, their pots and pans are made out of cheres. Cheres, we know from the Metzias and we know from the Gemaras, cheres, it looks disgusting. It has a miyazdika look. Nowadays, you have these very fancy, beautiful, expensive pots and pans, and you bring it into the sukkah, it does it. If you would normally, if you wouldn't bring it to the dining room table, then you shouldn't bring it into the sukkah. But if it's this pretty, not a pan, pans don't usually go to the table, but a big, nice, beautiful, pretty pot that you usually bring to the table, so then you can bring it into the sukkah as well. That's what it seems like, and perhaps there's a difference between the way their pots used to look and the way our pots look. In Dirshu, footnote 7, they bring down from this in Karelitz, it doesn't mean every time you finish eating, so that second you got to run into the house and throw into the garbage your dirty plate. He says it means when the B'nai Suda, when everyone's finished, so then, you know, you shouldn't leave the dirty stuff lying around, you should clear the table. The Dirshu brings down, Loshen HaMe'iri is Bigmar HaSa'uda. And then they point out, usually on by Shalosh Shudis, after Shkia, we do not clear the table because it's considered preparation for after Shabbos. We leave the dirty stuff on the table, and only after Shabbos we clear the table. So here, Dirshu brings down from numerous poskim that would not be the case because you're not clearing the table to prepare for after Shabbos. You're clearing the table so that right now the sukkah is in a state of kavod and not a state of bizayim. Lamaisa, I've never heard of anybody being makbid. I mean, usually the leishah b'sukkah is at the beginning of the suda before people have dirty plates there. But the fact that you can leave it there till the end of the suda, so if someone comes late to the suda, I never heard that someone was makbid that you can't make a leishah b'sukkah in the sukkah. I guess it still needs further Ian, but it doesn't seem to be that is the minhag. The Lashon HaShar Tzion again is min hanachon lechatchila lahachmir bazeh. And then you have many big Rishonim who say that wasn't bechlal the kavana of the Rif. The other thing is they talk about you should not plop the garbage pail should not be in the sukkah, but if it's helpful to clear off the table by bringing the garbage bag into the sukkah, and you can quickly clear the table. So they bring down that's okay. But they bring that down from this in Karelitz, that you could bring, when clearing the table, if it's easier to bring the garbage into the sukkah, he says that's okay. Mutu lahachnis pach ashba kishem menakim et ha-sukkah ulhotziyo. What? Yes, I think so. I assume it's the Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam. I don't know. Okay, so that is just a little bit of a touch up from yesterday. So anyway, the Aruch HaShulchan says that the minig is not to be makbid on the dirty plates. So he says we paskin like Tosfos. And according to Rashi, he's going to get rid of the dirty plates. So it's being choshish that the Rif really meant pasul midrabanan. And then it's being choshish, the dirty plates being choshish for Shitas Rashi, with Aruch HaShulchan says the minig is like Tosfos. There's a lot of room, and even the Shar HaTzion, who's notel lahachmir, only says, min hanochon lechatchila lahachmir bazeh. And again, my personal 2 cents, it could be the way he describes the Ginai, the Gemara just said, Rava says, klei achila chutz l'sukkah, but again, if you normally bring your pot to the table, and it's a pretty pot, which nowadays pots are pretty, they're not made out of cheres, they're not dirty and disgusting, so it would sound like one has room to be makel over there as well. Sif Beis is a juicy sif. The Mishnah in Sukkah Dav Chaf Hei Amud Aleph tells us, Ochlin v'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah. If one wants to eat and drink in a temporary fashion, Arai, he can do that. He does not need a sukkah for that. He can do that chutz l'sukkah. Then the Gemara on Daf Chavav brings down a brisa which says the same thing. Ochlin achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. However, continues the brisa, ve'en yishenim shenas arai chutz l'sukkah. You can eat a temporary eating outside of the sukkah, but you cannot take a temporary power nap outside of the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, what's the difference between Shena and Achila? And the Gemara gives two answers. First, the Gemara brings out from Rav Ashi, Shema Yera Deim. Now, we're not afraid that he's going to lose control of his eating and turn his Achila Sarai into Achila Keva, but we are afraid that it, what's to stop his temporary nap from becoming a permanent nap? We all know, you know, it's a I'm going to my bed for a few minutes, and a few minutes can easily turn into a very kavua dika starka nap. So that's what Rav Ashi says. The Gemara questions it, and the Gemara seems to conclude with Rava. And Rava says it's not a gzera shema yeradim, but rather ein keva l'shena. There's no kvius by shena, which means, Rashi explains, meaning that's a power nap. A power nap is alright, but it's something, it can get you through the rest of your day. You take a 5-minute nap, you put your head down on the shtender, on the table, on the couch, wherever that is, and that 5-minute nap can get you through the rest of the day. So that shows that that was not alright. That shows even a little bit of a nap is, as we call it, a power nap, and that has the status of a kviya. So there's no such thing as a shena sarai, because sometimes it's just that little close your eyes for a couple of minutes, it gets you through the day, and that turns out to be a kvius in shena. So there is a sleep is not considered arai, by definition it's considered keva, as opposed to eating. So let's see sif beis. Tof reish lamid tes sif beis. Ochlin vishosim. Now, just one ha'ara on the Mishnah. It says, Ochlin v'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah. Okay, so, sounds like, if it's not arai, if it's kviyas, then it has to be in the sukkah. So we understand, achilas keva, we're going to discuss now, Shulchan Aruch going to tell us what's an achilas keva that requires a sukkah. Achilas keva in the sukkah, achilas arai can be chutz l'sukkah. What about shesia, shosin? Is there a, it sounds like the Pashut way of reading the Mishnah, I don't want to say Pashut, there's a big machlekes how to understand the Mishnah, different opinions, but one could understand the Mishnah that just like there's a temporary and permanent eating, and one requires a sukkah, one does not, it's the same thing by drinking. There's a kavua dika drinking, which would require a sukkah, and a temporary drinking, which would not require a sukkah, perhaps. It could be that Ochlin v'shosin means it goes together. The drinking is just part of the achila, and it's one unit, one suda, you eat and you drink and they go together. Or it could be that the arai is not going back on the shosin at all, it's only going back on the ochlin. These are different opinions in the Rishonim, as we'll see now, there's a whole diun in the poskim and in the halacha about drinking bikvias michutz lasukkah. So that's it. Tuf reish lamed tes sif beis. Ochlin v'shosin v'sheni basukkah. Call Shiva Bain Bayom Bain Balaila. We eat, we drink, we sleep in the sukkah all 7 days, by day and by night. The Ein Yishenim Chutz L'Sukkah. One may not sleep outside of the sukkah. Afilu Sheinas Arai. Even if it is a temporary nap. Why not? The Mishabura explains for us, as we saw in the Gemara from Rava, the Pa'amim, sometimes, the Sagile Le'inish Ba'achi, it's enough to get that short, quote-unquote, temporary nap. And that, by definition, makes it permanent. Va'avidei Keva. And therefore, even a temporary nap is usher outside of the sukkah. Now, I don't want to get into all the details, but this concept comes up, let's say, by wearing tefillin. You're now to sleep with the tefillin. That the discusser, Shenas Arai, Shenas Keva, maybe he'll pass gas while he's sleeping, so if he only sleeps for a very short time, Shenas Arai, maybe if he has someone waking him up, or maybe if he sleeps with his head between his knees. I know that sounds like his tefillin might fall off his head, but, so then we're not afraid that he's gonna that he's going to, the Sheinas Arag is going to turn into a Sheinas Keva. So the Bir Halacha points out, Dibar Maskil, Afilu Sheinas Arag, Vafilu Maniach Rosho Bein Birkov, even if he puts his head between his knees in a very uncomfortable fashion, the Vadai Lo Osi Lishtakea B'Sheina, is only so long he's going to have to sleep in that very super uncomfortable position. Gam Kain Osir Literutza Derava. According to Rav Ashi, Shema Yeradim. So you could say, okay, he can do different things to make sure he won't be Yeradim. But the Bir Halacha says, according to Rava Du Basra, Halacha Ki Rava, Rava is the Basra, and therefore, I don't know what Basra means. Basra usually means came later. Since Ravina Ravashi wrote the Gemara, and Rava appears on every page of the Gemara, I would think, I'm not holding in the chronology of time, I would think that Rava came before Rav Ashi. But it probably means here he's Basra in the Gemara. The Gemara brings him at the end, and therefore that's probably the conclusion of the Gemara. I assume that's what it means. It's brought down the Prima Gadim. I'll have some homework tonight. So according to the answer of Rava, there's no such thing as sleeping in an uncomfortable fashion, so it won't lead to a permanent nap, because a temporary nap, by definition, as it didn't kviyas, because sometimes that's all you need to get you through the day. Now, the Shulchan Aruch continues to go on and talk about what's in Achilas Arai Achilas Keva. I'm going to jump to the Ramah, who discusses the sleeping, so we could just have start with the sleeping unit. So I'm skipping the rest of the Mechaber and Sibbeis for now. The Ramah said Hagah. So here the Mechaber says very shtak, not only must you sleep in the Sukkah, but you can't even take a temporary nap outside the Sukkah, because there's no such thing as a temporary nap. Hagah notes, as the Ramah, Umash, no again lahokel achsha b'sheina. That which people nowadays are lenient when it comes to napping, she'en yishenim b'sukkah, or even sleeping, they don't sleep in the Sukkah, rak ha'medaktikim b'mitzvos, only those who are very meticulous about keeping mitzvahs sleep in the Sukkah, and most people don't sleep in the Sukkah. That's the Ramah talking 400 or 500 years ago in Krakow. Growing up in Queens, I never heard of someone sleeping in the Sukkah. I had a friend in Woodmere, was a very Frum Yeshiva guy, and he insisted on sleeping in the Sukkah, and his father told him it was dangerous. Woodmere is actually a very safe neighborhood. So they made a deal, the father and son made a deal, is the son would call the police and ask him if it's safe to camp out and take and sleep in your backyard overnight in Woodmere, Long Island. Is that considered safe? And the father said, if the police gives it his okay, then the father will give it his okay. And the police said it was fine. So my friend was sleeping in his sukkah in Woodmere, Long Island. But in America, it is, I'm not from Lakewood, I'm not from Brooklyn, but in Queens and Long Island, it is not so common. Maybe now it's more common. Anyway, it wasn't common in Krakow either. So why not? So explains the Ramah. Yesha Omrim, Mishum Tzina, because it's cold. So when the forecast is looking at 80, 90 degrees here in Eretz Yisrael, that's not so relevant to us. In America, in New York, it is relevant. We used to go into the Sukkah with our winter coats very often. And I'm sure in Krakow, it was also very relevant. Yesh tzar lishon b'makomo sakarim. So it's a tzar to sleep outside in the cold. And therefore, we have a basic principle, which we haven't gotten to yet, but we will with Hashem's help, that mitzta'er is pater min ha-sukkah. One who is in a state of tzar is pater from sukkah. So if it's cold and he is mitzta'er and he's trying to sleep, then he is pater from sukkah. Now, the Ramah doesn't sound convinced, because now he says, v'li nira, but I have a different, perhaps a better reason, a limud schos, why people don't sleep in the sukkah. In chutz la'aretz, mishum d'mitzvah sukkah, ish u'beiso, ish v'ishto, k'derech shudar kol hashana. The mitzvah of sukkah is teishu kein taduru. And all year long, husbands and wives sleep together in the same room. And very often the sukkahs are not private, and the husbands and wives don't have their own sukkah to sleep in together, and therefore it's a chisaron in teshu ke'en taduru, and therefore it's not to sleep in the sukkah without one's wife would not be a kiyum mitzvah yeshiva basukkah, according to the Ramaz limitzchus on those who sleep outside of the sukkah. However, even the Rama concludes v'tov lahachmir v'liyo sham im ishto. So one should be machmir and try to sleep in the sukkah with his wife. So you can have the best of both worlds and have a private sukkah just for the husband and wife, and then he can be mekayim teshu kein taduru just as he does all year long. He can sleep in the sukkah with his wife. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkot in Yud Ches brings down that the Gra does not appreciate this Ramah. He says, that's not a p'tur of teshu kein taduru. That's not a reason to sleep in the house. The Mogen Avraham also doesn't agree with this understanding of the Ramah. The Limed Tzchus Acher Ala Olam. But they also want it to be Melamed Tzchus, because I guess in Vilna and wherever the Mogen Avraham was from, the common practice in Europe was not to sleep in the sukkah. And now continues the Mishnah Berurah, bringing down the limud schus of the Magen Avraham. Mishum davli mitzta'ek kishen yocholish and shamim ishto. For him to go to sleep all by himself without his wife is not a chisaron in teshu kein taduru, but as a din mitzta'er, and mitzta'er pater min asukkah. V'ine, the fi times that im ein mitzta'er, but if he's not mitzta'er by going to sleep by himself in the sukkah, kagon she'ein etzlo zman ona achshav, which means something else, ain lo lifter atzmo min hashena. Then in achinami he should be sleeping in the sukkah. Okay, that is Mishnah Berurah Sifkot in Yud Ches. Then he continues. Everyone could look at the hemshech at home for homework. Okay, so the Mechaber speaks very strong about, from the Gemara, sleeping in the sukkah is a Gemara, afilu shena sarai. And the Ramah tells us the minhag here, but it's not to do it. Why not? Maybe it's because it's cold in Eretz Yisrael, that's not relevant. Maybe it's a problem of a lack of teshu ke'ein taduru. The Magen Avraham, the Gra don't like that. Maybe as a din mitzta'er, and that depends perhaps on the individual. And the Maisa in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag, I think, in general, is to sleep in the sukkah. Okay, back to the beginning of back to the Mechaber. So that was sleeping, and now we're up to eating. Continues the Mechaber. Ein yishenim chutz sukkah afilu shen asarai, aval muter lecho achilas arai chutz sukkah. You're allowed to eat an achilas arai chutz sukkah. V'kama achilas arai, what's an achilas arai? Kebeitza mipas, up to and including in a beitza worth of even bread. Umutr lishtos mayim v'yayin v'le'echol peros, water, wine, fruit, all these things are achilas arai by definition. The Ramah adds, and this is a big discussion, relates to that Mishnah, v'afilu kova alayhu, even if he was koveya on the yayin and the peros, the Ramah wants to say that there's not a shame kvius, and it can be done out of the sukkah. What? It's still considered an achilas arai. Let's see, lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. Hold on. Okay, I hear what you're saying. The Mishnah Berurah. I hear. The Mishnah says like this: Hatam da achilas peros afilu harbi bekvius choshiv rak ka achilas arai depas. Maybe that's what you're saying. It's a din. Maybe that's what you're saying. You need an achilas keva, but not an achilas keva on cucumbers, an achilas keva on something that you normally koveya on. So even though you're eating a huge amount of kvius, a gigantic salad, but at the end of the day it's a salad, so it's not enough of it's not considered a kviyas legabe sukkah. Continues the Mechaber, Umisha Yachmir al Atzmo, Velo Yishta Chutz Sukkah Afilu Mayim, one who's Machmir on himself and doesn't even drink water outside of the Sukkah, Harei Zeh Meshubach. He is praiseworthy. And the Mishmura adds in, Bekol Shekein Pas Darach Arai. And certainly, to take that one ruggle, if you're going to take that one ruggle, which is Arai, and not a gigantic ruggle, a kibetz or less ruggle, it's a Meshubach to do it in the Sukkah. Now, it's interesting because even though it sounds like the Mechaber is encouraging that, Misha Machla Atareza Meshubach, the Bir Halacha over here brings down, Biralocha Diber Maskav Mutter Lecho Achila Sarai, Vafilu Tamil Chacham, Imrote Shalom Lahachmir Al Atzma Bekach Rashai. Even a Tamil Chacham has the right not to be Machmir, Velohave Kimishainu Medaktek Bemitzus. It's not like he's not Medaktek Bemitzus. So the Machabit tells us it is Meshubach, but it's not like, well, if you don't want to be Meshubach, then you're no good. It's Meshubach, it's extra credit. But even a Talmid Chacham has the right to say, I'm not looking for extra credit right now. I want to eat that ruggle. There is a discussion. There is a discussion. I years ago heard something about this. The issue touches on it. Let's say someone's very thirsty and he doesn't have a sukkah. So on the one hand, he wants to be Harei Zeh Meshubach. He wants to get that extra credit in Hilchos Sukkah. But now he's very, very thirsty, and it could be that that's a major chisaron in the mitzvah d'oraisa of Simchas Yontif. Because now I'm very uncomfortable. I'm very in a bad mood. I'm kvetchy. I'm grouchy. I really want that drink of water. So, you know, there has to be a set of priorities. So I'm pretty sure I once heard that one of the big Miposke Ador wanted to say that there is no Indian over there to be Machmir, meaning, I don't know what's Machmir, it's a Chumah Das Dekula. A person should drink, there is no Indian to wait for the Sukkah, but then that big Posek, so I think there is Yushalmi that says that there is still an Indian to wait for the Sukkah. And there's a very large Dirshu footnote here, number 18. And I went through it very quickly and didn't get the bottom line. Oh, here it is. The Mogen Avraham writes in Sifkat and Tezayin that there's a Yushalmi that Rav Huna was machmir on himself not to drink outside the sukkah, even though he was very thirsty. Oh, so then he wants to say, who's bringing this? I don't know, he's bringing that from a different poskim. However, there's a difference between being thirsty and being mitzta'er. If being thirsty, a person can be thirsty and feel like, oh, I'm thirsty, well, what a simchas yantif I have that I'm thirsty and I'm waiting for the meshubach tikka sukkah, and then it doesn't turn, my thirst does not have to turn into a mitzta'er, right? When our kids are kvetchy just because they're uncomfortable, doesn't have to necessarily translate into being a mitzta'er in a bad mood and being kvetchy and grouchy. So he says, "Zeh rak ba'ofin shlo mitzta'er b'kach." Mashenki kim shemitzta'er shemizbato ideka me'oneg yontif v'chol ha'moed nikra hedyot, because he's mafsid the mitzvah simchas yontif. Okay, that's a discussion. Very good. So then he continues from a Bikurei Yaakov. He gives different opinions back and forth. Sha'af im mitzar machmas ra'ev otzameh, he's hungry or thirsty, yesh mailo lihimono me'achila ushtia, dechen kosa v'shomo zalmen orbach. And that is in the Tosefes Maiserav. The Gro was in jail on Sukkis, and he refused to fall asleep. And it was a few days, and he stood up, whatever he had to do to make sure he wouldn't sleep outside the Sukkah. V'hitzta'er ma'od. Okay, so this is a diyun. We'll try for tomorrow to get a little bit more clarity and more of a bottom line. Okay, we have a few minutes left, and let's Okay, oh, we didn't finish the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, there's a lot to go through over here, which we'll do Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow. V'tav shil hasui mechamesh es minim. So far, the Mechaber told us about pas, bread, pas haba bekisnin, bread, those mizonos things that have bread-like properties, as described in Kuf Samaches, Sivav and Zayin, the Mishabur will discuss. Then the Mechaber talked about wine, water, and peros. And peros is not limited to apples and oranges. It includes a lot of other things as well. And now the Mechaber is talking about Tavshil Hatsui Mechameshis Minim. It's like pasta. Does not have bread-like properties. It's not pasta babikisin. Pasta babikisin is something with bread-like properties. If you eat a certain amount, it's a whole discussion what that amount is. So then it has the status of bread, and you'd have to wash and seal sedayim, make hamotzi, and bench birkas hamazon. As opposed to a tavshil, which is like pasta noodles, that does not have a tzuras hapas. It's not pasta babikisin. As much noodles as you will consume, you will never have to wash and bench on your noodles. Now, there are many who say that that's why the Israeli Kiddush evolved into Yerushalmi Kugel, although Rabbi Yashiv had issues with that. But the standard way of understanding it was that Yerushalmi Kugel does not have a Tzuras HaPas, even though it's subsequently baked. And therefore, sometimes you go to a Kiddush and you're eating, and a person can eat and eat and eat and eat, and then the poskim question that person really should wash and bench on all that he's eaten at the Kiddush because of all the pasta babakisnin that he has consumed. And Yerushalmi Kugel, according to most poskim, avoids that issue, that it's not, it's a din tavshil, it's not pasta babakisnin, and as much as you want to eat, it's not going to require washing or benching. So here the Mechaber tells us that tavshil hasui mechameshes minim im koveya olav, if you set your meal on it, Choshiv keva, it's considered an achilas keva, v'tzorich sukkah, and then it requires a sukkah. Now, this lashon of kviyas is a little bit misleading, because that's the lashon that's used to discuss pasabah b'kisnin. Pasabah b'kisnin, if you're koveya suda on it, so then you have to wash and bench. But the poskim explained over there in Kuf Samaches, it's an amount of food that a person is normally koveya sudan. It doesn't go by the individual. It goes by Joe Bloggs. It goes by the average, your 40-year-old male, the average 40-year-old male, or the average 10-year-old girl, or the average yeshiva bacher. And so, by Passover Gisin, it's a shir shachir and begin the kvolav. And then the poskim give it into more specific shiurim. So here, the Bir Halacha says like this: I b'maimer Mordechai shemazik dibididei talya milsa. It's not an objective shiur for everybody. It depends on the individual. The kosha who kava alav, if he is koveya on this pot of noodles, afa pish lo yashir shederek bnei adam likboa alav choshiv keva. Even though most people are not going to be satisfied with a bowl of noodles, but this guy saying my supper tonight is a bowl of noodles, that's considered a kviyas, even if it doesn't measure up to the sheer kviyas in Kuf Samaches of Pasav Abikisnin. Here it goes by the individual. Right now, this is my dinner, that my lunch, that's my kviyas. After the inyan Pasav Abikisnin, Mavur Le'el in Kuf Samaches, Deba'in and Davke Sheer Shederech Bnei Adam Likvalav. You need a more of a standardized sheer. Here it goes by the individual. Hacha deba'ina teishu kein taduru. Here it's a dinner teishu kein taduru. Kol shekovei alav, as long as it's my dinner, even though it might not be someone else's dinner. Kol shekovei alav havi kviyas la tricho sukkah uvedidei talya milsa. That's enough of a kviyas for him to have to eat his pasta in the sukkah and to make a bracha on that pasta. It is dependent on him. So that is half of Tuf Resh Lamed Tes Seif Beis.